Check test. What's going on, y'all? This is first. This is a second live for Corpus and Coffee. Let me see if we can put the chat here. If anybody's on the chat,
you'll have to read that. I can't see that far.
Yeah, I can't.
So we've got I'm Jesus, your host. Obviously, this is the Corpus and Coffee edition. Coffee cup, no coffee in here. Oh, you guys got coffee.
We got another one over here.
And we got, as you may be sure to share the mic over there. So we got Bobby Pena.
Yes, the third. Sometimes everybody says it more official, but yeah, Bobby Pena. And then my oldest daughter,
Elisa Pena.
What's going on, y'all? Mm-hmm. So Bobby, I know Bobby through the comedy scene.
Yes. Right. Yeah, right. And I'm on the co-administrator of CorpusChristiComedy.com. With Ronnie Fryer. And one of the neat things that we're doing is we're really trying to elevate the scene with the comedy community. And Elisa has just graduated 2 years ago from Texas State, and Congrats. They're able to really help out with flyers, promos, different logos and things for
stickers, the koozies. The koozies are really cute.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So they did all of the logos that we have, the stickers, and then the other merch that we're thinking we're gonna kind of expand to, maybe coffee mugs next.
Nice.
And then t-shirts later on.
Eventually. That's a lot more stock to hold. Right,
this is true. But that's been awesome the way that Elisa's been able to thrive and then help us out as well as they use their creative outlets for us.
So. How do you feel about helping out the comedy scene, or like what business, like what do you sell?
Well, typically I sell my art as stickers, keychains, cups, all kinds of things. Mm. Just whatever I can put my art on to make it more accessible for people to see. We recently started tote bags. Those are really cute. I don't know if they show that off.
Flying off the shelves.
We've sold that a couple of times already. But I generally do that, and then I kind of freelance to supplement that income. So I do stuff with a couple of nonprofits and the museum and things like that. But being able to use that to support the local community in general, not just comedy, but all over, is really cool because our family has been in Corpus forever. So we're like sixth generation Corpus Christian.
Yeah, like we said, my mother-in-law lives next door. So, and she's 91, 92?
Yeah, she just turned 91 last month.
So yeah, they have been, you know, in the thick of it for forever.
So anything to kind of make Corpus thrive is really important to me, and I really, really enjoy doing that kind of thing.
I think I've instilled that. Sherry too, she's been born, you know, she's born next door, my wife, 28 years.
Well, in a hospital.
Well, in a hospital, but yeah, they grew up next door. And so it's been one of the things where I, even though I was born in Chicago, I moved here in my, you know, starting high school. So it's really been a, you know, I mean, thing for me for 40 years. Yeah. So I really taken, I mean, I know I don't look it.
No, well, you do definitely look like Chicago-ish now. That
I thought he was going to say you look old.
I was surprised you only said 40.
That's funny, bro.
But yeah, we really love Corpus. Obviously, there's some things that kind of we love more than some other things. I mean, you know, the way some things can go politically, water, you know, any kind of things that desal or whatever, all that. I mean, that's, you know, we want the best. And sometimes you think one thing is going to be the best and it doesn't work out. Mm. So, you know, live and learn. But I think the neat thing, like at Cole Park, they have that sign that says, better together on the side of the amphitheater.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think that obviously that is the best way to move forward. So when we get more people on our side and people knowing about, you know, the CorpusChristiComedy.com site, and then with Elisa's Artistry by Elisa, there's a lot of things that we can help facilitate, you know, more growth, more understanding, more creative things. So that's so cool. Always a neat thing.
So yeah, so you've always been involved in like community, in the community, or?
We really kind of have. I mean, some years it's taken, you know, a little bit of a backseat just because of things that are, you know, kind of drawing our needs and stuff. But with church.
Mom and, is like a teacher, or she just retired from teaching, right. So now she works with me. But
so it's awesome.
She was always involved, and like our whole family, because Ella was a Girl Scout. She has that billboard.
All right. So down at the marina.
Down at the marina that talks about
the grass,
the seagrass and stuff.
The importance
of protecting it.
Right. So there's been little things that we've done, you know, through church or through other ways, like you said, the Girl Scouts and things that you have done with your social
volunteering
activity
and stuff like that.
So cool.
Yeah.
do you feel like you need to be involved in the community? Like, what made you like want to get involved in the community? Is it because you had kids?
I think a little bit about that. But one of the things I remember growing up is hearing people complain, and then me going, "So what are you doing?" And then them were just complaining. Yeah. Well, that's not going to solve it. Sure. You know, when your aunts and uncles or some of their friends come over and they are just complaining, like, well, it's not going to change. You don't try to do something different.
One of the things that we've been talking about, I'm involved with, like, working at, we've been doing clothing swaps and stuff with the Free Store and things like that, is talking about the price of community is inconvenience.
Is inconvenience.
So even when you don't want to do something for the
betterment
of the village and like being a community, it's really important that you do those things anyway.
Maybe tired, might be exhausted, but still
comedy is late at night all the time.
You know, and so that's the importance of coffee, like you said. The stimulant that it is, you know, making sure you get up for the cause.
Here comes the cat, wants to be in the interview.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So your degree's in art. What's your degree in?
It's officially called communication design, which is just a fancy way to say graphic design.
Graphic design?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. So how are you learning like the business aspect of it, being that you're selling stuff now?
Trial and error, mostly.
Yeah, for sure.
You've taken a course recently.
Yeah, I took a continuing education course through Texas State to kind of get more on the business side. We were going on 2 years, and I was like, I kind of need a little more information.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then the neat thing that Sherry and Elisa are good at is asking the other vendors that are near them, like, what's worked for y'all and what hasn't? And this way they're not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, draw upon those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then I think they're really open and they look at things in a way where, okay, let's not make, you know, a million of these until we know that 20 of these will sell.
Yeah. Right.
That's why we kind of try and do everything in-house.
Right.
But speaking real quick about what you were saying about being really open, all of the artist community, which is more where I am, we're all, I feel, really like we're colleagues and not competition.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of gatekeeping. So that's a big community building aspect because everyone is helping out. I just talked to a couple of people who were at Tuesday Blues Day, which we like to do.
At the university.
Nice.
And they're kind of thinking their students getting close to graduating and deciding what they want to do with their lives. They're like, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them anything because none of us are going to be the same. We're all kind of working together.
Right. And then that's been like a thing with Milky Tomato is a company that is a weird name.
A funny name.
But they are like what Elisa does on steroids because they do things on a huge scale and they are very successful. And so it's like how a Mexican family owns a Mexican restaurant and everybody works in it.
Yeah.
That's theirs, but for a graphic design company.
Yeah. So she does stickers and all that kind of stuff and Comic-Con.
So cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's, they have like the biggest event, you know, they get the biggest spot and then they have,
they're
so
up
many,
to like a 20 by 10 now. See, at cons.
And at cons, conventions that are, you know, that's big.
That's huge.
And so, and they have stuff like stack.
Wow.
And so it's really neat. And they are awesome. They love Elisa and Sherry. So they help out and they'll, when they like something that Elisa's done, they'll put it on there and go, look at what our friend Elisa,
you know.
And so they'll tag her and they'll highlight it and stuff. So that, like she said, that there's not that much gatekeeping as far as, you know, there could be some, but then you find the people that are willing to help and answer and, you know, and then they have been really open to the young kids too, who want to do something like this. No AI. We don't use any AI on anything. And there's signs.
We have a sign in our booth. It says, no AI. It says like 100% human made.
And we know that there's a huge thing about it. But
yeah, we have that sign. And we also have a safe space, a safe zone sign because we got certified through the Pride Center of Corpus Christi. So those are two of the things that we really believe in. And so we have it published at the booth and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And we know AI is like hitting like a nice little trend highlight right now where people are putting things and that's cute and all, but real artists, I mean, are what really drive things. And then, you know, they're so
water consumption.
Water. And when you find out what goes into creating all those little, you know, memes and things, you're like, it's insane how that's the way it was developed. You're like, wait, why though? Why do they have to do it the way they do it? Because the amount of water that's being used to do those kind of you know, factory farms or whatever they call them.
It's server
insane. It's insane. But some of them kind of look cute, and some of them, Elisa can spot any AI. It's hilarious. And so it's like, AI. I went,
really? And I could do it better.
Yes.
How do you find yourself as a dad supporting what your daughter's doing?
There's a lot of Hallmark moments. We've talked about this because they have an exhibit at the Museum of Science and History where we've taken them when they were in strollers, through. And so seeing that kind of thing, it started at the Art Center, a couple of years before, when you were still in school.
When I turned 18.
Right. Yeah. Having, things sell there. So they would do a thing there, and seeing it on the wall was, cool. And so when I post it on online, I'll go, proud parental post or whatever. And it's like, for real, I mean, it's one of those things where I get sentimental, and we look at, my wife and I look at each other and like, go from there to this.
Yeah.
And then now with the exhibit and special spot at the museum, and it's a highlighted piece. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And they're doing something that they love. Mm-hmm. And so seeing the creative part come through and just them thinking of something and then doing it to a point, you're like, wow,
seeing it being developed and actually coming to fruition. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, so have you tried, what's the difference between selling a big piece of art, or do you do big pieces of art?
I do some bigger, some fine art pieces that I will display in the art center. Mm-hmm. But since those take so long, like we have some hanging up that I do them with like a 032 brush, so it's like barely any bristles, and you're kind of doing it real slow, and it takes like 100 hours. That costs a ton of money. And even like the regular designs, so drawing a cup takes 17 to 23 hours.
Wow.
So original work, I would have to charge so much to have the time work out. So that's why I really like making them into products, so that more people can have them, and it's just more accessible.
Yeah.
So I do the fine art still occasionally and stuff like that. And I'm going to be having an art show for my 25th birthday.
Wow. Cool.
Quadricentennial. I'll have some of my pieces there. But I really enjoy having the smaller stuff that people can have.
That's and cool. It's wild at how, especially Tuesday Blues Day at the university, those students love their stuff.
Wow.
It is incredible. And
I love them.
Yes. Yes. But I mean, and so they're so glad that, Elisa's there again at this next month. And so they'll get the collection. So if they've made cups, then there'll be four to the collection something, they'll get the next one.
So that's what would you consider that you're following your audience?
Oh yeah. We've started doing loyalty cards, like little punch cards.
Yeah,
sign it. And then they get a special sticker when they visit us five times.
Yeah.
But
they have pen pals and different kinds of things going on to, be connected to the.
Yeah, it's a snail mail club. So I designed, there's a couple different themes.
Yeah.
Like Planet Earth. It's really cheesy, but the art is capitalized. and that one's got like animals and stuff with fun facts and little hats and things. And then there's Silly Sexy Pinups, which is all ridiculous things. Like this month.
Yeah.
If you haven't opened yours, don't listen. They're conversation parts with little pinup legs. But so I send out those once a month with like a letter and my calendar and stuff like that. Nice. So some of my regulars really love that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a neat thing as a dad seeing that. And then our other daughter, they're real passionate about, theater. So they've done, a lot of the plays and things.
Cool.
And they're sociology with a minor in law. So they are activists. So Elisa is as well, right, with Texas Rising and, wanting the betterment of the city and, all of our citizens and things. So it's neat as a parent, seeing them doing what they really like and feel fulfilled doing. It's awesome.
They've always kind of been like, follow your dreams. So a lot of people would not want their child to pursue a career in the arts. But
you hear about that, they're probably going to live with you forever, and that would be fine.
That's the attitude that he went in with it, and he's like, well, as long as you like it.
Yeah.
And that's like when you kind of talked off camera before, where there was a gap when I started comedy when I was in my 20s after high school. And I kind of joked that with our daughters and my wife, it's one of those things where I had a captive audience. So they, as it is now, we could build up each other and laugh and everything. So it wasn't as big of a need to get out, you know, at those times, you know, because we were able to make them laugh, or they were able to make me laugh and things, and we'd do things together and really do it right. Now it's getting to the point where I'm able to retire really soon, and so kind of live out more of the comedy thing and do my best to help the scene with the CorpusChristiComedy.com with Ronnie and everything. So it's kind of come full circle, and it's really kind of a neat thing to experience, because there's ups and downs, hills and valleys, you know, along the way and everything. But it's like, all right, I, you know, even though I'm old as heck, it's still...
Well, yeah, see, I asked you the other day, I was like, so are you like, because you seem like retirement age and stuff, and I was like, is this your retirement plan? Like, you don't have to be, you know what I mean? Right, like, why you're here? You know, well, that's basically my question.
You're not even retirement age, though. You're retiring early.
Well, so. I'm retiring from AT&T. So I qualify from AT&T, and they're offering a package and everything because we got a little slower and see about, you know, those that can. And so I was waiting for that. Yeah. I thought this call would come late last year, but it didn't.
Oh, wow.
So I thought maybe it's going to be a little while longer. But the kids, when I had mentioned we love like Jim Gaffigan and going to different shows, Nate Bargatze, but leaving those shows, and I think I had said something like, I wish I would have possibly kept on doing that, you know, younger.
Wow.
The kids were like, well, you could do that now.
Do it now. Yeah.
And so, like we said, you tell them, do what you love. And then here, I may not be doing exactly what I love and putting it. So the kids weren't having that. They're like, no. You could do this now.
You're the second dad this week that told me that same thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, I'm telling my kids this, and what's dad doing?
Right.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, smoke. So we're obviously thinking that.
Exactly right. And you have to, you know, lead by example to a certain extent, or else, you know, you're just blowing smoke, dad. What the?
Yeah. Crazy, man. So you'll be hosting a show?
Be hosting the open mic on Thursday at Mesquite Street. Mm-hmm. I love that mic.
That cat.
And so that's always fun, going down there and seeing all the new comedians, or the comedians do new bits.
Cool,
and stuff.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. At Mesquite.
Mesquite.
Downtown. Did they ask you, or what's, is there like
so
a...
There's like a sign-up sheet, and Ana Ramirez, one of, you know, our great freaking comedians here, they are in charge of part of it. Mm-hmm. And so they'll go around with a sign-up sheet and then kind of ask who'd be willing or wanting to do that. Wow. And so, yeah, there's a couple of us that get to do it a little more often than others. I'll not do it next month, but then the month after I have another time to do it then.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's neat because it gives new comedians another chance to see what hosting is all about.
Right.
And everybody at our mics are really like, kind of like how Elisa was saying the artists are. Mm-hmm. We're not gatekeepers. If there's things we think we could help tell them, you know, do this, don't do this, or, you know, don't worry about this, you know, and kind of move it, you know, in a positive direction. That's a neat thing.
So cool. Yeah. And there's Joe's kind of your age. I remember when I saw you at the artisan with Joe. He's kind of the same age as you. That's so cool.
He always says he's older than me, and I'll let him keep saying that. Even though we don't need to get a calculator and really figure it out. So he asked me again, so how old are you? I go, no, you've been saying on air that you're older, so we'll just keep it. I don't want to call you a liar. But he says that it's him, it's Wendell, Mr. Wendell, him, and then every now and again he'll remember that Jan, and Barney, you know, even though she's a musical artist and stuff, but then I don't think he thinks they're as old as, you know, we are at times, because they do a lot of things. They're really active. They kayak and do all kinds of cool little things. And sometimes some 50-year-olds aren't doing those things. Yeah. And they're, you know, in their 60s, because he just talked about getting his Social Security. So, Joe says he's like the second or third oldest in Corpus. I let him have it.
Man, so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So you've been doing comedy for how long?
So 2 years again. One of my friends, Max Richards, his stage name, was turning 50. And when we were younger, I sold cars with him at Saturn. Yeah. And that was a great time.
Showing your age.
Yeah.
Saturn, bro.
Yeah.
Like, is that even the right?
I know, right? So the neat thing about there is you have a lot of downtime. So if you have a good group of guys, there's a lot of neat things that could happen. And so I had told him about me doing comedy when I was younger and then doing different things and improv. So he was like, oh, asking more questions. And where do you do that? And I told him about the different open mics that were there then. And so he really got inspired by that and started doing it. Well, then he turned 50 and he was like, hey, you know, I like some of the people and, you know, that had an integral part in me getting to my, to this part. And so I was one of the guys, like Blake Trevino was on there, Sean Miller, Shaky Jake, Doug Dalton, Blake Trevino. So there was, did I say him twice?
He said him twice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Alisa had done his logo. another shout out.
Yeah, so you did his logo.
Yeah,
right?
that's the Slow Rose podcast.
Yeah.
That's right, right. And so it was neat. And so then so that was where, that was the first show coming back. And so the itch was there again. And so the, like the kids had said, you know, then do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah, you're right.
You didn't have such a captive audience because we were adults. I don't live here no more.
Right, right, exactly. So, and Sherry can.
So the jokes around your family different from jokes at like at open mic or at a
I think somewhat. Now that they're older, you know, I'm not really dirty or anything like really super, you know, wearing
age appropriate.
Well, there's always the dad. Yeah, you know, if I do say something, or if you know.
I feel like you're dirtier at home sometimes, honestly.
Well, now, well, I was all pent up. I couldn't say very many things because you were. I have to say some things just come out.
Well, you can only hold it in so long.
Exactly right. Hurry up and turn 21. As it is now, one of the things that Alisa is saying is that sometime in the past, I had said, you can't.
And he did.
No. They're making it seem like I had said that you could flip me off when you are 35.
Okay, because Dad likes to flip his kids off for fun. You know, we're looking at him too long. He throws us a little bird. And then Catherine, my cousin, one time flipped off Dad back, and she was 25. And I said, well, why does Catherine get to flip you off back? And Dad goes, well, you can when you're 25. And guess what? I'm 25 in April, and there's a lot of walking back going on.
There seems to be a thing where Alisa, Ella, and my wife
have a better memory than you.
They claim that they have a better memory, and they use that against me. No, we told you about this. I'm like, I don't think you told me about this. I think it's just a thing where you get past.
We both had concussions. Yours was more major than mine.
I did have a concussion, yes. And age and stuff, and I partied a lot when I was young. But still, I mean, I think they get over
25 is the number.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, watch out for that at the art show.
Yeah, we're going to be with all of Lisa's art, and then she's going to be just there.
Yeah. So who do you guys got for the Super Bowl today?
I really like the Dallas Cowboys. I think the way the Seahawks have been playing, you know, that they're more well-rounded. I like, you know, both teams. They've played and gotten to this point because they're talented, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just so it's so not fair for other teams when New England had been so dominant for so long, and then they didn't have that long of a layoff of being bad to be good again. It's like, as a Chicago Cubs fan, I don't get it. Well, and a Bears fan, you know, but like things like that, you're like, they should go through a mourning period that's longer than 2 years. It's like, what the heck?
100 years.
Well, not 100, but I mean 10, you know. But I do like some of the players on both teams. So it's one of the things that's changed me is fantasy football has made it to where I'm not only Cowboys or only Bears since I'm from Chicago.
Wow.
So now, you know, you like different aspects of different teams. Alisa and Ella are not that way still. They remember when I was really like only, you know. And so every now and again, now Ella's getting to a point where they're more comfortable with school, their course load. So on Sundays, they'll watch some games with me more often. And so if I'm seeing a game that isn't a Bears game or a Cowboys game,
I think that's ridiculous. I think we should be watching a movie together.
Well, see, that's what they do. Elise could take it or leave it. They don't care.
I don't care.
Ella is kind of like now, but for some reason, she's adopted the Ravens. So now we watch some
games from there.
I think they love to read, and their mascot is what is it? The
Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, okay, the Raven. Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. But so that's the thing. She is dating somebody who is a Washington Commanders season ticket holder. The family owns. And so that is a trying thing where you're like, what in the heck?
But we saw them on TV at Christmas.
Well, this is true.
That was fun.
But nice. So that's always a trying thing as a dad. You try to raise them right.
I've decided I like the Miami Dolphins because their colors are nice.
And then the hardest,
I just like their colors. Hardest. They're cute.
And look at the dolphin goes through that ring.
Reminds me of Snowflake from Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, man, I want to talk about your roast battle. What was that like?
So that was my first. I had never, been in a roast battle. As a matter of fact, growing up, when people would try to tell yo mama jokes about my mom, we would get in, a scuffle. So I wasn't really about that. And it was fine that other people liked doing it and that everything. But me and another comedian, Tim Boudreau, were talking when it was announced.
Wow.
And he's an older comedian. And so we were like, it's kind of a cool bucket list check, thing as a comedian. I didn't think I was going to get as far as I got. And then to do that with my wife does not like roasts. And so it's
ex-elementary school teacher. Right. Very stressful for people to be mean to each other.
Yes, doesn't really appreciate being, leaning mean, And so some of it could be, more comedic. And so not ill-intended. But so that's the one thing. But they all love to support me. So they were there, and I won. And then
we had to keep going and seeing people be mean to dad.
So it was like a trying thing. So as it got closer, when I'd win,
bittersweet.
Yes, exactly. Dad.
Wow. Right.
But my goodness, you're not that fat.
Oh my gosh, how did y'all feel when they were roasting him? Oh my gosh.
Mom's heart rate monitor on her watch went off a few times where it's like, calm down, maybe. I feel like, knowing Dad, I could have made fun of more things than just him being fat.
Yes.
As the other fat person in the family. I'm like, okay. But also.
I'm glad you kept your mouth closed because we don't need to give anybody any more. And that's the thing. Like, on my socials, there are so many things you can make fun of. I do things that could easily have been a joke. I love my Can-Am. I'm on the Riker a lot. Sherry makes it where that's my second wife. So there could have been some things there.
Corinne, the artist who won, did diversify a lot of her jokes.
Right.
And she's really creative. She's such a good writer.
She's an artist too, isn't she? Yeah. I mean, have you seen some of her
poems? Yeah.
And so it's neat.
We're fans of each other.
Right. Right. And the family too. So that made it an interesting battle at the end. But it was great. I mean, looking back at it, I'm glad I did it. I'm proud of the way I did it. Mm. I think I attacked it in a way where my jokes were mostly fact-based. Like if they didn't say something on stage or do something on socials or anything, I would listen to them on podcasts and get things that they had said they did or liked or didn't like.
He really stalked.
Yeah, because some of the comedians that I had, like the second round, Adrian Rodriguez, he doesn't do a lot of shows or do a lot of things like that, and he doesn't post a lot. But he was on Sports with Roland for a good while. He had a little stint where he was on his own. So I listen to those and kind of get tidbits of that. Jay Everett, who I started with, he's out there. He'll say everything. So you could just
at shows like all together.
He'll be real self-effacing and say things he's making fun of himself. So I could say, well, Jay said, so that was good for that one. And then as we went along, Sweet Tea is another one who doesn't post a lot of his personal or other interests on social media. So I had to listen to his times on podcasts. And then it was during that time. And then when we were on a podcast, the slow roast again, that we would mention something and he would say, well, he doesn't like to read. He doesn't like to listen to music. And so people started roasting him right then, right at the same time. But then, and some of the people would be on like another podcast, the That Dude Talks with Chris Longoria and that one. So it was neat to be able to do that and kind of do my research that way. So that's the way I had done it. Like some of the other comedians, they would just say, have a good, funny thought in their head. And it couldn't have been meant for anybody, not just Bobby Pena the third, you know?
Okay.
And so that was fine. And that's their strategy and that's how they go about it. That's fine for them.
I accidentally heckle once. Someone had said, called you a virgin or something. And I was like, his kids are here. His two kids. Which I felt bad. I shouldn't have heckled.
That was the first round against Jay. He said something along the lines of.
And we're friends with Jay. We're cool with Jay. He has me make his flyers and stuff. Right. But I was like, what?
And Jay has a big heart, you know, and stuff. But he
hugs us all and everything after and everything.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But it's one of those things where he had said something, you know, like, you don't have sex or you don't have something, you know, like that. Yeah. He's got two kids. You know, that was good.
Yeah. Do you feel like that comedians need to be on social media more?
I do. Yeah. I think especially during show times, show weeks, when you're on a show.
Okay.
Me and Tina LaCucina were talking about this, that it's great and infuriating to have some of the comedians on your bill because some of them, they perform wonderfully. They are going to get the laughs, but they aren't going to post until that day that they're on a show.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like, girl or guy, you have, you know, 1,200 fans. They want to see you, you know? And so you not posting on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whichever ones you use, I think that's a hindrance towards the scene and them growing. So a lot of comedians are introverts. They can get on stage and say jokes and be hilarious. Be hilarious. But after that, off stage, they aren't going to go up and try to get more fans by being outgoing. Hey, how are you doing?
Networking,
thanks so much.
I guess you could call it.
And so, socials, not posting on there, I think is really making it harder for them to get a bigger following. Mm. And nowadays, it seems like club promoters want you to have 1,000, 3,000, 5,000 fans, so that it seems like it's going to be better, you know, for them to sell tickets,
right?
Because you have more people that
bring more people to their venue, all that exactly. other stuff.
And then when you say I'm on a show here, then they'll say, "All right, I'm there," you know, "I'm close to that," or so it helps. And there's so many people that can say different things. Facebook's dead, or Facebook's for older people, or whatever it is. Mm. There's still a lot of traction and a lot of people that come to our shows because of flyers.
Yeah.
You know, with the CorpusChristiComedy.com, we're at 3,500 followers now and just, you know, not even a year. Exactly. And I think we're doing it for the right reasons. We want to highlight the scene.
Yeah.
Everybody, even comedians that we may not agree with everything they say, they're still comedians in Corpus.
Right,
and
right,
they
right,
should,
right.
you know, they have their fans. So whatever they do, their podcasts or their, you know, films and things like that they do, we'll put it on there so that, you know, you can say
so cool.
Yeah,
I was mentioning to Ronnie, like maybe on that same page, put a clip of a comedian.
That's one of the things
people can see. Oh man, I might like this.
Exactly right. That's one of the.
We need more of the comedians to film themselves.
Yes.
And have.
Yes. Oh, well, there's been a lot of that going on.
Well, there's some, but not everybody does it,
and not everyone has polished clips.
Right.
It's definitely been a conversation.
Right, and then so that's one of the things we really want to highlight in 2026. And like with the show you just did, I think that one was a great show. And then one of the things we could have done, and I think we should do going forward, is maybe interviews with some of the people leaving, so that we could do Man on the Street, or you just left, you know, this
the
Corpus Christi original show. What'd you like? And what, you know, have you followed everybody, or are you gonna, you That's know, different kinds idea. Of things like that to drum up interest, and then highlight people who are leaving to tag the venue, the show, comedians. This way, it makes it seem like that's the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, because everybody at that show had a great time.
Yeah.
Nobody left going, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because whatever reason, you know, plumbing, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or AC, you know.
I mean, seems like an old building anyways. Plus that side of town, a lot of the stuff is old, like including the plumbing. Because I kind of live on that side of town too, and it's an issue, definitely,
City. But the room upstairs, everybody loves it. I mean, so many comedians that I've talked to, like John Stringer was just here, and we had a great 3-hour lunch with him and Ronnie, Blake, and I. And that's one of the ones he says out of the whole country that's like in his top. So it's only like 60, 80 seats, but the feel, the way the ceiling's lower, you know, it's got a cool vibe and everything. So it's got a neat vibe to it. And so when you put in comedians who are having fun and everything, I think it'll help you know, grow the scene faster, the more people are more out there on socials, for sure.
So what do you, do you want to get into like the level of comedy for comedians? Like, do we have actually good comics, or are they still making it their way toward
I think we have some, like, definitely, you know, diamonds in the rough. There are some that are really good. Mm-hmm. And then there are some that are close, you know, and I think it's just a little more time, a little more input from, you know, different comedians. Going to the open mics, you know, now that we have, there's some weeks we have open mics, it could be like one a day. Mm-hmm. And so having five plus a week is awesome for Corpus, because it wasn't like that, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that's a neat thing. And then especially, I think, like, Miguelito's taken a more positive approach about helping, you know, comedians tag certain things, as well as John Roman, Javi Luna's helped me, you know, with a couple things. I worked one of his merch tables when he had a sickness for the person handling his merch on one of his shows with Chonai up in Woodlawn, the Woodlawn Center. And so that ride up there and back, it was awesome. So he was letting me pick his brain and stuff. So it's a neat thing about that.
From an outsider's perspective, who's been going to the shows now for a little over 2 years, because we were going a little bit before you were jumping in, a lot of the comedians have the same jokes that have kind of prevailed, but they've all evolved. So when they have the same sets that they've been doing for a while, they really grow into it and take the notes and everything. And so even some people that I've only seen for 2 years have gotten leaps and bounds better just by going out and practicing their craft, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. And that's the neat thing, like, how I look at, like, the Corpus Christi hooks. You know, I love sports. And so a lot of things are sports metaphors. But seeing, like, when those guys are coming up, and then seeing who they've become with the Astros or other teams, is kind of similar to the Corpus Christi comedy scene. Because I remember seeing Steve Federvino when he was just starting out at, like, Sparkling City and a couple of the places around here. Javi Luna, I remember him being with the Vatos Locos tour, which is still a cool tour. But, you know, that was 10 years ago. You know, and seeing where he is now, and
he was so funny at the last show. Such a good job.
At the roast, because he was on the show that he had hosted the other night too. So he's our big fish. He is you know, the big name in Corpus, along with Tina La Cochina, who's won, you know, comedian of the year for the band for a while. And then, you know, John Roman has been really instrumental in helping a lot of people with his being one of the promoters for a lot of different comedy clubs here in the city too. So it's neat to see where we can be. The rise of the mothership and the things going on in San Antonio and Austin, we're close enough to where a lot of the comedians that are going there, we could take a Wednesday or a Thursday show from them before they do their Friday or Saturday show, and then build our scene more. And I think the Hilliard Center is doing that, you know, with a lot of the comedians they're bringing in. Mesquite Street has a really cool list of comedians coming, you know, just in the few months coming up. And so it's neat seeing that. And then the open mic spots that we have, that we could thrive, you know, the Annex with their showcase and things like that, all the different places. And a lot of our comedians are hungry to get maybe their own mic or get another show during the month somewhere else. So there's going to be a lot of neat places coming up as well. So.
Yeah, I really hope a lot of us, like, do you think that, like, we're too nice to each other at open mics, like, great set?
I think
instead of like, oh, maybe this.
Or, well, one of the things, I think there's a couple of us who, I know I'm one of them, and there's a couple other guys that are
compliment sandwich,
but also when they taped one, I go, I'd love to see that with you. Or after you watch that.
Okay, so you know they're trying to.
Exactly. And I'll go, let's watch that together. Or after you watch that, let's talk. You know, because I'll remember a couple things, but sometimes some people don't want to hear the
criticism.
Because they want to hear the praise. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you say it, then, or I'll also kind of say, well, how did it feel? And then we'll build off of that. I don't want to go up to someone where they know they kind of, you know, botched one thing something, and then kind of make it to where they're not going to believe the next time they may have, you know, bombed, and I go, dude, yeah, you rocked. Then they're going to, you just say what I want to say, you know? So they might not, you know, think of me as a good sounding board. And by no means do I know any more than anybody else, but I know what I hear, you know? And so when they say why they wanted to say something or what they were thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, did you do that? And then we can kind of get into more of the process. But a lot of comedians, not a lot, there's several comedians who are good about that, helping. There's writing sessions that, you know, have happened at Tapology and things like that. Right. And stuff like that. So there's a lot of help to be done, and it's not just after the mics or after the shows, like you killed it, you know,
crushed. Yeah, for sure. And when somebody tells me that, I'm like, what, like, tell me more. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're not ready. They're not ready to say, they're like, oh, I thought I was just going to say this, you know, and we're going to be done, and we're going to hug it out. And then that's all.
Yeah, the other night, an artist and one guy told me, he's like, oh, yeah, great job. I was the first one, third one to go up. I was like, well, what'd you like about it? And he couldn't remember.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. But thank you, though. Appreciate it. Right. Yeah, it's awesome, man. Yeah, is there anything you guys want to talk about? Anything else?
I got my first show in San Antonio coming March 1st. Dope. So that's going to be neat. That was one of the goals once I retired, is to start traveling a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so San Antonio is a great place. There's a lot of cool comedians that have, you know, come down and I met or through socials got, you know, so a really cool, nice friendship with. So that's going to be neat. And I got a lot of family and friends up there that haven't been able to come down.
You're putting on the show?
No. I'm just a guest. Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm just, it's a open mic showcase on a Sunday. And it's done by Duckies. He's a big name in San Antonio. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And then it's Anna had told me, I had asked, because I didn't hear about this bar. It's called Rocky's Tavern. I'm like, anybody know about this? And Anna had said, oh, that's a fun room. Go, you know, do it. And I'm like, okay. And so he had said I could bring some people. So I'm bringing Ronnie Fryer, Skip Pettit, and Tim Boudreaux.
Oh, they're going
to
be on the show?
Yeah, so they'll be on there. So I'll be a feature doing just a little bit, you know, 15 minutes, and then they'll be able to do, you know, 7 to 10.
So cool.
So it'll be a good guy trip, you know, for my first road trip. They have all done road trips, having to work for this long time. So nice. I haven't yet. So this will be the first one.
Elisa, what do you got going on? I heard you in the Art Center.
Yeah. I have a couple of places where I have my stuff. Art Center, K-Space is one. I have a shelf in there. Sparkling City Game Store, I have stuff in there. And then
Noasis Brewing,
I designed their labels for their barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
so cool.
Yeah. And then my most recent one was the Museum of Science and History, where we did a wholesale order. So they have like our Corpus Christi cups, and then we designed cups for, and I say we because mom is so integral to the business. She's production.
Yes.
So I design, and then she does a lot of our production work, but did some stuff for them. And I don't want to blow smoke up my but it's really cool. It's really exciting that they've put in the Corpus Christi section, the Oasis section,
nice,
little display case that's featuring me, which was really awesome.
So when we had seen it, we're like, oh my gosh, because it's in a case, the things that they've made for them. So like the different things are things that you could see in the museum. Mm-hmm. So it's not just things that Elisa had made of the city, you know, as some of the other items are.
Yeah.
This one is specific for them. And so they're able to do that for other museums, and they've kind of reached out. But they're also the in-house artist for the
Colorado River Association. So they do work. They're based out of Austin. And they're a nonprofit that helps teach kids about water conservation and stuff like that. And they do river cleanups.
Oh, wow.
And I designed a little, he's a raindrop. His name is Ripple.
Wow.
And they actually turned him, we designed him for a project for like a kids activity booklet.
Yeah.
They turned him into a mascot recently. Wow. And he looks exactly like that's my amazing drawing. It's so cute.
Yeah.
It's so
how do you exciting feel about that? Wow, that's awesome.
No, I love it. I love them. I love working with people that are doing good things for any community. I was up there, obviously, for college in San Marcos. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got connected. But they're awesome.
Yes.
I love everything they do.
And it's such a cool thing as a dad, seeing their enthusiasm about all that.
So, that's dope. Yeah. So how do we find you guys online?
Mine on Bobby Pena III on Facebook, Bobby Pena III Comedy on Instagram, or CorpusChristiComedy.com. Mm-hmm. We have all the shows, open mics, things like that. We have a calendar of every comedy show, open mic, or things going on in the city that the comedians are doing. Wednesday, there's at the Alamo Draft House, there's Film Up. Heidi Hobda puts on this awesome thing where local artists are able to put little things that they may be working on to big films. So if they're doing some kind of project, wherever it is in the, you know, in the setup or the process, they can have it filmed there to get criticism or critiques, show it off, kind of network that way. So I'm in one with that Javi Luna, and I had been in, and I was Miguelito's in it, Danielle Torres, Happy the Entertainer, Ronnie Fryer. There's a lot of Trey Aramijo. There's a lot of comedians in that one. Then we tried to do it for CC 7 Day, but we kind of, we had a kind of a technical glitch.
Yeah.
So we weren't able to do that. So this will be the first screening. There's still some polishing up that Javi wants to do with it. But like we said, it's a place that you can put it up there. And then Jan is doing something. Jan Morris, the other comedian. We love all of her comedy songs. But her and Barney put together another version of one of their CC 7 Day films that they had done last time. Wow. It's going to be the second edition of Corpus Christi After Dark. A lot of comedians are in that. I'm in that one in a couple scenes.
Wow, that's
so
cool.
That's awesome there too.
Online, how can they go to that?
Film Up. You go to alamodrafthouse.com or Film Up Corpus Christi is another way that you can go and get the tickets and things like that.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's an awesome time.
Dope.
And then online, I'm Artistry by Elisa on everything. Elisa is E-L-I-S-A. And that's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. Nice. I never tweet, but...
I never X.
Never X. And then that's also my website. So just archerybyelisa.com. And that's where I am.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I like the picture you have for your logo. It looks like you with the glasses.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
I should have worn mine. I got one. Yeah. I'm with Elisa.
Nice.
Like hers says... I'm Elisa.
Cool. Well, thanks. Well, thanks a lot, you guys, for being on the show
for
this conversation. Thanks a lot, you guys. Yes. Stay tuned for Corpus and Coffee, another edition coming out soon. This is the second episode of that. But thanks a lot for the comments, you guys. And we'll see y'all next time.
Woo!
Bye.
Nice. Yay. That was awesome.
Cool.
It's